Greetings, brethren. Yeah, I almost wasn't to be here today. I have four services. I thought, well, I need to check my notes, get it out. I'm there going through my briefcase. Oh, no, I brought the wrong notebook. Well, I can't do it then. And then Mr. Redline, he basically ruined my day. He walked up and said, did I take your seat? I said, well, no. He said, well, you're going through my briefcase. I had to go get my briefcase. And sure enough, I had my notes, but I've already told him now, being our briefcase, that he's going to have to put a ribbon on his, and it needs to be pink. He said, well, you put it on. I said, I'm not confident enough. So, brethren, how do you feel today? How will you feel when you leave here today? I have a title today. It is Just Two Things. That's the title, Just Two Things. You came here today trusting, and you had faith that there would be someone here. There'd be a building, there'd be a church, people would come. You come here today trusting and in faith, and you're one of the called ones. Who does God call? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 22, probably we all have this well memorized, if I'm in the right place. In verse 26, actually, I don't know what I wrote down, but we'll start in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So you see in verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, according to the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world. So there you are. You're sitting here, and I'm looking down on you. Yeah, I'm up here. You're down there. Well, God has chosen the foolish things, including the people speaking, to put a shame to the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. That's what God's called us, to put to shame to those which are considered mighty. Yeah. So we're here, are we here to be called to perform our righteousness? God's looking down, well, this guy's pretty well got it on the ball. I think I'll call him. Or God's righteousness, which one were we called to do? But you know what? God will take the weak and make them strong. Matter of fact, he actually says they'll become kings and priests. That's the weak. What would the strong be? Well, I won't turn there, but Revelation 1:6, Revelation 5:10, kings and priests. And we also know, if we look at Hebrews chapter 11, you know that book, don't you? Always refer to it, the faith book. Hebrews 11, in verse 6, But without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you're the lone or you're the lowest and you're the weakest, it's going to take faith for you to become something else, it seems to me. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Yes, God will take the weak and he will make something out of them. People say, well, I have faith in Christ. But do they trust Christ? They know him. They know he exists. Do they trust him enough? Put their life in his hands, you know. Faith and trust are very similar, it seems to me, for me anyway. Faith, what I've found there in reference in the Bible, is usually a number 4102 in the Strong's. It means conviction and reliance, constancy, belief and assurance. There you go, there's faith. What about trust? Most often it's used to expect or confide or to hope. Well, you have faith, and sometimes trust has to be built, doesn't it? Seems. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, 13, we won't go there, but then the word faith is translated as 3982, and it means to test. To test or rely on. Not just faith, not just trust, but to actually rely on. To test. I'll put my trust in him. And that passage is a quote from Isaiah chapter 8. I'll put my trust or my test in him. Now, the weak can become strong. You might say, how? How can that be? If you would, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we ask, how could we become great? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Well, you could say, I can become great because I'm going to overcome, and I'm going to do all these great things myself. What does it say there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9? For by grace you have been saved through faith, through believing. Hey, there is God, and he is going to intervene. And not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Remember, the weak, the base, we don't have a lot going for us. So it says, that is not of yourself, it's a gift of God. And it says in verse 10, we are his workmanship. In other words, he's working on us. He's working on us. We're not drumming this up and getting all excited on our own and overcoming. No, he says, we are God's workmanship. All of our sweating won't do it. No, God has to intervene. You know, here we are. Do we want to be in this group known as the weak? Woody Allen, I like to quote him. He's kind of funny sometimes. You know, he's the one who said, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. You know, stuff like. And he also said, I would not want to be in a club that would have me. Well, do you want to be at this club? I mean, is it that, you know, that God calls? You're high and mighty, you wouldn't want to be in this club, would you? if they had had me, I'm out of here. Do you feel that way? Well, I hope not. Hope you'd like to be in this club. But you know, people, because sometimes we're weak and we're the base, we might get to thinking, well, there's probably not much hope for me anyway. But I was just watching an interview with Jordan Peterson. And I guess he's written several books. He's a pretty famous cultural psychologist dealing with people. And, you know, people go there that are having problems, and they're in bad shape. And in this interview, he's a strong guy. But when he came to this answering the question, he actually had tears in his eyes. And he said, it's hard to see how many people are lacking an encouraging word. Isn't that sad? I'm a man, a professional man who deals with people. He said, how many he sees that are just lacking an encouraging word. Well, God's here with encouraging words. So I want to talk about the importance of trust and faith, and you could say trust and obedience, but trust and faith. You've heard the song, I think you have, maybe not. I don't know how far it goes back. Trust and obey, there's no other way. Am I the only one that's ever heard that? Yeah, some of you have. Trust and obey. It's one of the verses says, not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Yeah, I hope we can look at God and know and have a trust that God's going to take care in our time of trouble. Another verse says, not a doubt or a fear, nor a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust in God. But it actually says trust and obey. Well, there's another song I like. You ever heard of Leanne Womack? You ever heard of I Hope You Dance? Yeah. I like that attitude. But in the song it says, I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. I mean, we come in and we can be all excited, and then can we lose that sense of wonder? Can we begin to fade away? And she says in the song, don't let some hell-bent heart leave you bitter. No, because you're going to run in to people that's going to discourage you. And if you allow that, it says, and don't let it leave you bitter. Just don't let it happen. Of course, from 1967 to now, I've friends, known people, even myself, that can become bitter. But she says in the song, don't let them leave you bitter. She says, I hope you never fear those mountains in the distance. Yeah, you're going to have some obstacles when you start following God's way. But she said, I hope you never fear. And she says, give heaven above more than a passing glance. When I was a youngster, we didn't have air conditioning. And in the summertime, it was hot. We'd lay out on the lawn at night and see the sky, the shooting stars, the Milky Way that I don't know if we can even see anymore. I go outside now and I can barely see it. But she says, give heaven above more than just a glance. Oh, yeah, it's a blue sky, nice clouds, and go on. But we would watch the sky in the daytime, the clouds. Well, that looks like a hand, or that looks like an elephant, you know. It was beautiful. And now, we just give it a passing glance as maybe we get in the car. She says, when one door closes, I hope one more opens. Yeah, there's going to be some doors slammed in your face at times. But God's going to see there's going to be something else open. And she says, never settle for the path of least resistance. Well, we could go into scriptures on that. Jesus said, the path, the narrow path, there's a wide path. One of them leads to destruction, doesn't it? And then she says, if you got a chance to dance, I hope, or set it out. If you got a chance to dance or set it out, I hope you dance. We can just set it out. God has given us a tremendous privilege and a blessing. And we can just come to church, maybe go to the feast, and we can just kind of set it out. When I was a very young man in the church, you know, I was asking an elder, you know, about something I was planning to do. Well, what do you think? And his answer was, if you don't step out and do something, how can God bless you? If you don't step out and do something, how can God bless that effort? Because he's probably not going to just pour it in your lap. And then in the song it says, promise me you will give faith a fighting chance. Yeah. Answered prayer doesn't always come the way we're expecting. Matter of fact, it usually doesn't come. In my experience, I've got it all figured out. Well, I need this. I see God could intervene this way and that way. It doesn't happen. Some way I never could have dreamed of. And at a time when I don't think about it. But an answered prayer usually doesn't come the way we expect. So we need to give faith a fighting chance and trust. Well, being on songs, how about Johnny Cash? I think maybe it wasn't the last song he wrote, but near, maybe there was one more about a train, called Hurt. And he said, I've hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I mean, we can become so calloused that we don't feel anymore. We don't feel that inspiration, don't feel that excitement of what it means to being a least and a base and being called to the highest calling of anyone could receive. If you would turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I don't know if I'm in the right place. Well, yes. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, I think we talked in the sermonette a little bit about the latter times, didn't we? Some will depart from the faith. What do they depart from? The faith, the trust, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And in verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, pretending. We don't want to get into that trap. Pretending. We come to church and we pretend what good people we are. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Yeah, pretending and hypocrisy will sear your conscience, I believe. Yes, living a fake life is not faith and it's not trust. Anyway, Johnny Cash goes on the song, "Everyone I know goes away in the end." Yes, if you're going to put your trust in a minister, a governor, a president, a leader, they're going to go away in the end. And he just kind of concludes like, "You can have my empire of dirt." In other words, all this he's built, and he had built a lot in wealth and possessions. And when it came down to it, it's going to go away. "You can have my empire of dirt." Yeah. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. If you would, Luke chapter 12. Yeah, we can build an empire of dirt. We can put our resources to this flesh and to this way, and we can build that empire. But what is it worth? Luke chapter 12, in verse 20. Well, just previously, Jesus said in verse 16, he spoke a parable to them, and he told about the ground of a rich man, and it produced great abundance, until he didn't even have enough room to store it. Apparently he wasn't sharing it. So he said, "I'll do this. I'll just build bigger barns, and then I can store more." And then verse 19, "I'll say to my soul," or to my life, "Life, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." Yeah, I've stored up everything. I've got my empire of dirt. Well, he didn't realize what he was really saying. But in verse 20, God said to him, "You fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" And that's what, when Cash said, everything he's known and loved has come to an end. No. If it's physical, it will come to an end. And verse 21, "So he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." No, not rich toward God. And even in the song, it says, "I will let you down." Yeah. People will let you down. People that you trust, you look up to, you admire, and they'll let you down, or they could. Have you read Psalms 146 in verse 3 through 4? Psalms 146, verse 3 and 4. I can just read that if you don't want to turn there. "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no hope." No, our trust has got to be in God. Man is just going to fail. In whom there is no hope, when his spirit departs, he returns to the ground, and his very thoughts perish. Yes, his thoughts perish with him. He goes back to the dirt. Point is, brethren, don't let men drag you down. God is the trust. Men just will let you down. Since 1967, when I was baptized, how many leaders have I seen just forsake the truth and leave? And those who put their trust in them were flowed right off with them. Yeah, he said, "You can have my empire of dirt." And he goes on in the song, "If I could start again." Well, brethren, we have started again. And you could say, well, that's not again, this is the first time. And he just said, I would keep myself. Or I don't know for sure what he meant. Or maybe he would say, if I could start again, I would think it out and I would keep the good, maybe. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. We see God is intervening for us. 1 John chapter 4. My little children, there in first, am I in the right place? 1 John 4, no, I'm not. 18. There is no fear in love. Remember, we heard about fear and a damaging effect of fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Yes, it casts out fear because we got our trust in something else, more than in a flesh, more than in ourself. But perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And in verse 19, why do we love him? Because we're just smart people and we're just righteous people, and so we decide to love God. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. That's why he made the commitment to the base and to the lonely and the downtrodden and someone who would just like to hear an encouraging word. Yeah. God looked down. And he first loved us. Facing fear doesn't take away fear. Yeah, you got to, you're afraid, whether you got to go ask for a job or you're in the military, and you got to go forward. I saw where those, was it the B-29s that flew from, to Romania, where the Germans had a refinery. I mean, these guys, they hardly had a chance. And they got there, and the thing was, there was smoke, the Germans were prepared, and they flew on and dropped their bombs. Yeah, well, you think they were afraid? Yes. Yes, they were. They were afraid. Facing fear, which they had to do, doesn't take the fear away. But it makes us brave. Yeah, they had to be brave. Facing fear doesn't make us where we're not afraid, but it makes us brave. So we have to face things spiritually that are fearful. Well, I'll lose my job, I'll lose my wife, I'll lose my husband, and go on and on. Is your life that precious? Really, it's an empire of dirt. Facing fear doesn't take away fear, it makes us braver. Not because of our righteousness, because of that trust that God is going to deliver us. Let's see, verse 19, did I read that? We love him because he first loved us. Yes, I did. And we see that we're not the author of our salvation. It's not our idea. It's not. We're not going to complete it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 1, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, and that word would mean everything that's gone before, now we're going to say, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, you know what Hebrews 11 is, commonly called the faith chapter. And if you'd gone through that, these people of faith recorded in this book. And then it says, therefore, after all this, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Yeah, run with endurance, but God is going to have to provide the endurance and even the motivation. And it says in verse 2, how? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author, the captain, the leader. Looking unto Jesus, the author. And what else? The finisher. He's the author and he's the finisher of what's going to happen in our life, of our faith. Yeah, you could call it our faith, but it's the faith that God gives us, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he just says, you've not yet suffered or resisted in the blood, but some have. Yes. Jesus is the author and finisher. That's where our trust and faith, if we're betting on ourselves, the odds there are just like they're zero. So we need to have confidence, and that's where trust, faith come in. How about looking at Philippians in chapter 1? We can find that. That would be after Ephesians, wouldn't it? Philippians chapter 1. And in verse 6, he says, being confident of this very thing. What thing? That he has begun a good work in you. God's begun the good work. We didn't decide that, you know, hey, this looks like a good idea. I think I'll join the club. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Hey, God's not going to leave you hanging. You're going to have some difficulties at time, and you may think, well, what's happened? Where's God at now? But he's not going. He's going to finish it. He's begun a good work in you and will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Talking to the first fruits, until the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, he's going to complete it. Well, we have to think and remember our calling. Remember we read in 1 Corinthians who it is, what we are? God calls you, not your righteousness. No, he's not calling you. Well, look at this guy. He's pretty well got it on the ball. I'm going to bring him and I'm going to make him a king and a priest. No. Remember our calling. God calls you, not your earned righteousness. You know, great men of the world God could have called. But what are the great men? Mao of China? He's responsible for killing like 40 to 80 million people. Stalin? It amazes me, in one generation, we had Mao, Stalin, and Hitler. What was that about? Where'd that come from all at once? And then Stalin, from a book called The Great Terror, killed at least 15 million through various ways. And of course, Hitler, there's a national museum, I believe, in New Orleans, deliberately murdered 6 million. How many others were taken in and died because of these men? Mao and Stalin, they killed more people than Hitler, but we hear a whole lot about Hitler. I think it's because of the news media we have is kind of leaning to the communist side, kind of ignoring what they do. But where did that come from? Well, what happened in 1850? There was Darwin somewhere in there, and his idea, survival of the fittest. All three of these guys had that in mind, survival of the fittest. But does that jive with what God said? You know, God, according to our calling, God loves the unfit for survival, not the fittest for survival. He's calling the unfit for survival. So Darwin and that evolutionary propaganda really leads people in the wrong directions. It's not if we're good enough, God will love us. Well, if I can just get good enough, maybe God will love me. Maybe I'll be okay. If I could do some extra, then God would love me. If I just go a little bit more than God. You know, it's not if we're good enough, God will love us. Because we see in Jesus' time, well, look at the Pharisees. They wanted to outdo God. They wanted to be a little more righteous than God. They built this wall around the Torah or the God's law so people couldn't even approach to begin to disobey it. As I understand, I was talking to someone, I think at the conference, I forget now, but he was telling me that they started the Sabbath like after the lunch or noon. Be sure they didn't get into the Sabbath 2 or 3 hours before. Hey, we got to be sure and keep these people, because all these people are a bunch of idiot children, and so we got to have this wall here to protect them from breaking the Sabbath. And then in the evening, three priests had to be able to count 7 stars to be sure the Sabbath's over. Yeah, they were counting it down, man. Minutes to the seconds. Jesus had to tell them or remind them the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Because they'd made a religion, basically, out of it. And trying to impress their righteousness, I guess. But God is perfecting us. You know, we know that our righteousness is as filthy rags, don't we? I don't think we need to turn there, but Isaiah 64 and verse 6, all this righteousness that we can come up with, well, God says this, so I'm going to do this. I'll trump God. Yeah, well, he says that's just filthy rags, you know. And we know from Romans 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. But then what does it say? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This isn't something we're going to pull off on ourselves. It's just not going to happen. God is perfecting us. God is making us mighty men of valor. We trust him for that. And so we follow his lead. He wants us to be mighty men of valor. That's mankind, valor. God has confidence we will become like him. God has confidence. Where's our confidence? Do we have it? We'll look at some scriptures about trust and faith. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Maybe we'll skim through this a little bit. Hebrews chapter 11. And we know we commonly call it the faith chapter. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we'll just start there. But without faith it's impossible to please God. All of the righteousness you can come up with, all of your trumping God's word that you want to do, it's impossible. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's the thing, of diligently seeking. Are you going to dance or are you going to set it out? You know? And then it says there in, I don't know if I want to say any more about that or not. It's talking about Noah. Had Noah, God said, you know, there's going to be a flood. You better build the ark. Had Noah ever seen a flood? I don't know if he had ever seen a flood. I mean, there in Genesis 2, it says the mist goes up and waters the earth. Now, that may just be talking, showing how clouds are created and rain. But I think we can say for sure that he never saw a worldwide flood. But he moved, and he did it. He trusted God. He acted on faith and trust. And then in verse 9, what about Abraham? By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Because he waited for a city, there in verse 11. And therefore, for one man and him as good as dead, I mean, at his age, you could just count him off as good as dead. I've been told by reliable sources that I'm on bonus time right now. So I'm as good as dead right now. I mean, as good as dead. From one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars in the skies of heaven. Then it goes on, verse 13, these all died in faith. Yes, by faith, Abraham obeyed. These all died in faith, didn't they? And then in verse 30, the walls came tumbling down. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Oh, was it encircling that brought the walls down? Maybe the shout. Maybe the vibration of that marching and then that shout, it just knocked the walls down. It seems that most miracles, if you want to find it, you could find a physical explanation. Somehow you can figure it out. There probably is. I've heard they don't want certain dogs or something running over the Golden Gate Bridge. I don't know. That's probably one of those tales I've heard about that aren't true. But God could have just knocked down those walls to begin with. Why march around them? I don't know if you go through the book of Judges and the Bible in general, God uses people to do things. He uses people to do things. All through the book of Judges. He could have delivered the Israelites, but no, he'd bring up a judge and he'd have him do it, and God would do it through him. He's making kings and priests out of us. Couldn't he just create a king and a priest and set them up? I don't know, but he uses people. Yeah. Let's look at the heroes of the book of Judges. The UCG commentary says the service to God was light, but the service to the Gentiles was always heavy. They always would get into other gods, and they run into trouble, and that service was bitter. God's service was light. I mean, if you want to compare what goes on. And we know, as it was quoted in Sermonette, I believe it was quoted, "You are slaves to whom you obey." Yes. But Judges, they could have had it easy compared to being under the bitter rule of the Gentiles. What Jesus say? Matthew 11:28, and I'll come back. Matthew 11:28. Doesn't he say, "My yoke is easy"? Yeah. He said, "Come to me, all you labor and are heavy burdened." People are heavily burdened, like a psychiatrist says. It's a tearful thing to see how many people just need an encouraging word. You know, they just need an encouraging word. In Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest." Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why? We have a lot of challenges because God is going to be with us, carrying us if we're trusting. And that makes a light burden. God is our deliverer. Well, you know, we may think, well, maybe I'm good enough. Maybe if I get good enough, God will bless me. You know, if I can just get everything right and good, maybe God will bless me. That ain't gonna happen. You ain't gonna get good enough on your own. Let's look at Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Yes, I need to hurry on through this. Judges chapter 6, 1 and 2, you see they were in trouble because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And that evil was they served other gods. I don't think any of us are going over and bowing down to another god. We have other things we're faced with. But Israel did. You know, they bowed down to other gods, and they were in hiding. The high hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made for themselves dens and caves. They had to hide. They had to go hide out in the mountains and the caves. Oh. Then in here's verse 11. And here is Gideon. What's he doing? He's hiding out grinding grain. Because, you know, here the Midianites, they're going to come and get me. And here the angel of the Eternal came and sat under the terebinth tree. Why did he do that? God does things like that. He's sitting under a tree. Yeah, he's sitting there under the tree. And while his son Gideon, there in the latter part, threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide from the Midianite. Here this guy is hiding. Well, that sounds like a brave guy, doesn't it? And what does God say? And the angel of the Eternal appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." What in the world? The guy is hiding, and he's a mighty man of valor? Oh. God called him a mighty man. What? What was God thinking? Well, God saw what he would make Gideon. And when he sees us, that base and least, he sees someone that he will make a mighty man. In verse 13, Gideon needed help though, didn't he? Yes. And Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Eternal is with us, why then all this is happening to us?" He said, "Well, why is all this going on then?" In verse 15, so he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel?" Because then God says, "Hey, you're going to go save Israel from the Midianites." And of course, Gideon, he says, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan's the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in the father's house." Can you identify with that? I think we can. The least. We already read about that. And verse 16, and the Eternal said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." No, God hears another least. And then Gideon, God worked with him, helping him to build trust, didn't he? Look at verse 36 through 39. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand," see, there's Gideon. "Okay, if you will do this for sure," because he knew he was really going to be sticking his neck out if he was going to go to battle against their army. If you will save Israel by hand, look, I've put a fleece of the wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only and is dry on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel. Gideon had to build trust. God is merciful and he will help us in small things, as we'll maybe talk about. Trust in God. And so God did it in Gideon, and then he reversed it. "Well, okay, that was good. Now I'll put it down and put dew on the sheepskin," or whatever it was. And God did that. So God built trust. You know, Gideon knew that he was in trouble on his own. What is it? I won't turn there, but Proverbs 27, verse 12. "A prudent man foresees danger and he hides himself." God always uses people, and we prepare physically and spiritually in trusting God. And, you know, we're to just be renewed in God's spirit. And that's what we're doing here today. We're doing through the week. We come on the Sabbath as to get a boost and renewing of that spirit. Let's look at Acts chapter 22. What did Paul do? Acts 22. Paul used the system. He wasn't planning, "Well, I think I'll be a martyr. I'll just die here. No. Paul did what he could in Acts 22, verse 25. "And as they bound him, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, 'Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?'" No, Paul spoke up Hey, they're about to scourge me, he's thinking. And is that legal? No. He went to the authorities and he used the system. He wasn't trying to just be a martyr. Well, okay, I'm just going to sit here and get beaten to death. Well, it's not wrong to use the system. The idea that if I'm good enough, maybe God will love me. No, Paul knew, hey, he's going to use what was available to him. If you're good enough, maybe God will love you. That's a hard one. You know, or good enough, or judging others who are having trials. Say, well, if they were doing the right thing, God would deliver them, and he would bless them, and heal them, and prosper them. Oh, yeah. God, there in the book of Judges, God delivered Israel out of trouble that they had brought on themselves. They brought the trouble on themselves, and God delivered them. We bring trouble on ourselves, but we have faith. We have trust. God, this didn't work out. I let this one slip. No, but God delivered Israel. He will deliver us, and he will have mercy. You know, after Sabbath services, we should not go home discouraged. We get enough of that all week, don't we? Don't we get enough slamming all week? We shouldn't come to church and then leave feeling discouraged. Well, anyway, how might we learn to trust? Well, we know from Hebrews 11, which we've already been there, you have to believe that God exists. So start taking the steps to do that. And if I had my advice right now, if someone that just is having problem there, what we could do right now is just read the August 19 or 2023 Beyond Today magazine. Yeah, we still get that magazine, don't we? Proof of God's word through, you know, can we believe the Bible? That's the title. And it goes through God's word through the universe, the remarkable universe, and gives many remarkable things that have come about through the James Webb telescope. It's 21 feet wide, and it's 1,000,000 miles out there, sending back things, and they realized the Big Bang was actually a universal bang. All the universes are moving away. And then, of course, another article about the human being, special creation, the backbone of a human. Three curves, you know, we walk upright. And to keep the body level. How are we going to dance if we didn't have, and the foot, the way it's designed, you know, the song, I hope you dance. Well, you can dance because of the way God created you. If you got a chance, then dance. You know, even the human foot has a special arch that no other animal has. That's some things you can do to start building faith or belief in God. And then the thumb, opposable thumb, you can touch all your fingers with your thumb. Yeah, that's a pretty big hindrance to animals, not being able to do that, you know. Hey, how'd we end up that way? And then, of course, we can test God. That's kind of what Gideon did, didn't he? Well, if you'll do this, you know, give me. Well, as Malachi 3:10 say, and it's talking about tithing, it says, test me with tithing. Well, when you tithe, you're going to have 10% less money than you had. So God says, test me. And, of course, Jesus said, he who is faithful in very little will be faithful in great. So you do what you can do, the steps to building trust and faith. You can test God. was interesting, I saw an interview with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I don't know how many of you remember Robert Kennedy, the Attorney General that was assassinated. Well, this Jr., I think, was like, I may be mistaken, I think 14 years old. He got into drugs, and he tells a story about breaking from addiction. He was addicted 15 years. Whatever the addiction, it seems food addiction is a major problem now, but drugs, it's unbelievable how drug addiction, and a lot of it's been prescribed. It's been like a setup to get people addicted to drugs. But he talks about breaking from addiction. And he said, this is what worked for him. He said, I had the willpower that I could just say, I'm not taking drugs. But he said, I didn't want to live a life of craving and fighting that craving all my life. So he didn't want to spend his life craving. Said, I started by doing little things right. Even I think psychologists have said, people when their psyche is all messed up, hey, start by organizing your room. Just get yourself in order. And it does. I mean, I'm a messy guy. And when it finally hits me with a rolling pin, then I go, no, she wouldn't do it. Her hand is quite sufficient. No, she wouldn't hit me. And it does. It starts straightening your mind out. Get your stuff organized. Get it here. How much time you spend just hunting for things that aren't put up. So he said he started doing little things, like properly making his bed. I mean, he's a Kennedy. He started properly making his bed. He started hanging up his clothes. If a hanger fell, he picked it up and put it up. You know, shopping carts, he put them where they're supposed to go. Could have just walked off. And he felt like, with God's help, as he put it, this empowered me. It empowered him, and he got through the craving. Now, he said, well, he's not called. He don't know God's truth. Huh? God cares about people, and God will intervene for people. And he tried, and he had a plan, and he's 60 years old now, and he's like 25, 26, and that's the end of the drug addiction. So organize yourself. Start doing things God's way. Test it. And what does the song say? When you come close to selling out, reconsider. Don't cave in. Don't cave in. Start with the little things that help others. You could help clean up a church. I don't like to hear, well, that's not my job. I don't like that. No, if it needs done, we need to do it. Doing only what your job is, I don't think that's God's way. Well, anyway, faith comes from belief, from a belief system. Trust is built through a relationship, isn't it? With someone or over time. Remember Gideon? He had to do the fleece. And as the song says, promise me you will give faith a fighting chance. You know, when you're down, will you give faith a fighting chance? Maybe it didn't work out the way you had it figured out. Give faith a chance. Answers don't come the way we expect. And, you know, the Psalms 29, in that chapter, it says, the Lord will give strength to his people. He will bless people with peace. We have to have the faith, the trust, that we're not going to do it on ourselves. I would like to turn to Jeremiah 29, because this is a verse I read several times. After my wife died, I read this verse a lot. 29 verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God has thoughts toward you. He has a plan toward you, and it's His. It's not ours, says the Eternal. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has plans. I read that verse a lot. God has plans for a future and a hope. And anybody that knows me know God answered that prayer. Not the way I figured out. And it won't be the way we usually figure it out. But God has a plan. You know, remember the song, I Hope You Dance? I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. And here's one. Don't let some hell-bent heart leave you bitter. In other words, don't remain discouraged, because God is going to open a way. Give faith a fighting chance. You know, give faith a fighting chance. When you come close to selling out, reconsider. Reconsider what you have, what God has. You know, realize that we have this empire of dirt, and that's what it is. And we don't put our trust in princes. No, if we do, we're going to be disappointed, aren't we? Don't put your trust in princes nor in the Son of Man. Brethren, trust and faith is the way. I'd just like to end with a scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I will see if I can find my seat. 1 Timothy wherever it is. 1 Timothy, it ought to be pretty easy to find. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. And we see that fight the good fight. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. And we'll start with verse 11. But you, O man, flee those things and pursue righteous godliness, faith, love. See, pursue faith, patience. And verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Don't sell out. You know, don't do that. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and had confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses.